WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. House Speaker Johnson predicts action today on yet another GOP spending plan to try to stave off a government shutdown. CBS's Siobhan Hughes on what Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries is saying.
He's pretty much drawn a line in the sand in terms of doing a debt ceiling deal as part of this spending package. And so whether or not Democrats provide support is very much an open question.
As the big holiday travel push quickens, the TSA's Christopher Mergia advises preparation for that airport security line.
Get your IDs out, get your boarding passes out, take things out of your pockets, put them in your carry-on bags.
Richard Allen's been sentenced to 130 years in prison for the killing of two teenage girls in Delphi, Indiana, back in 2017. Tony Leggett, the local sheriff.
A form of justice was served, but it does not bring Abby or Libby back. These families will live every day without two of the most important people in their lives.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced $2 million in grant funding through the Housing and Economic Development Authority. According to a press release, $2 million in grant funding will be distributed to 52 organizations across the state, including a handful in Bayfield, Polk, Eau Claire, and Dunn counties. The goal of the grant funding is to help those organizations improve emergency shelters, transitional housing, and low-income housing to ensure all residents have access to safe and affordable housing. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is reporting a growing positivity rate for norovirus cases. According to health officials, the highly contagious virus had a positive test rate of about 19% through the last week of November. That total was nearly 10% higher than the positive rate at the beginning of November. The University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire campus had also reported an outbreak of the virus during that time frame. The virus is commonly referred to as the stomach flu, and symptoms could include vomiting and diarrhea. As the holiday season continues, Eau Claire officials are reminding residents of their Merry Mulch Christmas Tree Recycling Program. According to a social media post, the recycling program officially began earlier this week and will be open through January 31st. The service is free for any Eau Claire County resident to take advantage of. The green waste facility that will accept the trees is on Jeffers Road, and parks officials are reminding residents to remove all of the lights, tinsel, and ornaments before bringing it to the recycling center. A Chippewa Falls nonprofit is expected to purchase a local motel and convert it into small, efficient apartments. Hope Village is set to close on the purchase agreement for the Indian Head Motel in January after the Chippewa Falls Plan Commission approved a conditional use permit to circumvent a minimum size requirement in the zoning code. The nonprofit is planning to use about 25 of the units at the motel for the efficiency apartments. After taking ownership of the property, Hope Village plans to begin renovations of the site this spring. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks in Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After winning the NBA Cup, the Milwaukee Bucks are on the road tonight against the team with the best record in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Bucks are 14-11 after the break. The Cavaliers in first place at 23-4. Three former Bucks players named nominees to the Basketball Hall of Fame: Marcus Johnson, Terry Cummings, and John McLaughlin, and Coach Doc Rivers, also named a nominee. College basketball, the Badgers go back to work this weekend at the Kohl Center. They will host a Horizon League team, the Detroit Mercy Titans, at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. NFL, Packers practicing in the snow. There's a chance for some flurries Monday night when they host the Saints. Running back Josh Jacobs says he likes games in the snow.
I like the game just because, you know, cold games, snow games, because defenders don't really want to hit. It kind of make them make decisions. You got to kind of make a business decision at times, and it's easier for me because I'm going to make you have to make that decision.
That's Packers running back Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Bright and beautiful, with that fresh snow sparkling in the sunlight, as high temperatures today reach the low 20s. We slide quite cold tonight, though, falling to the single digits, meaning for tomorrow, high temperatures will only reach the teens. But it'll be partly sunny and dry the entire weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 21.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, will the Musk-Trump GOP get to a plan C to fund the government before midnight Friday? Also, what impact does the ABC-Disney settlement have on journalism? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is now 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Friday, TGIF edition, December 20th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome into the end of the week show. Going to be a big one today. Looking very Christmassy across most of Wisconsin. Here in downtown Madison on State Street, short walk from the Capitol, we have snow on the ground. Mr. Zommers, can we get a quick look out there on State Street? You can see, for those watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and...
Never mind.
I'm laughing because the camera has gotten... Well, just talk for a second because I'll fix the camera.
Yeah, the camera got jostled a little bit and it was pointed essentially up towards the sky. Not very helpful, but Todd adjusted it. Now we can see the ground. Now you can see the streets have been cleared by the wonderful city workers of Madison.
I'm back now. That fits. That tracks, as they say. All right, there you go. You got snow down there on beautiful State Street. And looking very Christmassy. The lights are up. Some drivers. When we go to the camera lately, nobody's walking by on State Street. But trust me, there are pedestrians out and about. So looking at Wisconsin roadways on 511wi.gov, still some snow-covered roads around. Although the fantastic, big shout-out to the men and women who drive those plows and those salting things all night long to make the roadways better for us. They've done a great job, and roads certainly much better. And we talked to you yesterday. It looks like a fairly nice weekend. And again, I'm fine with this. I'd much rather have this kind of weather, sunny and some snow on the ground, than like 38 and rain.
Yeah, that'd be gross.
Yeah, so it's looking very Christmassy indeed. As we say, a big show coming up today at 12:30. We kind of bumped him on Tuesday because we had other things going on. But Luke Mathers is here for his Tuesday tangents on a Friday. Talk a little headlines, the news. Also, he will explain to us once again the in-season NBA tournament that the Milwaukee Bucks won. Talk about the Milwaukee Brewers signing a new lease agreement that will keep them in town for quite a while more, and whatever else is on Lukester's mind this afternoon. In hour two, make sure you stick around. This is your final opportunity, at least in our show, to win in the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Today, in hour two, somebody next hour is going to win an all-expense-paid overnight getaway to the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Are you cold? Do you want to sit in a hot tub to warm up? Have a casual breakfast in the morning, enjoy a drink at night, all surrounded by the lovely driftless area of Wisconsin Dells? Then stick around. That gift could be yours. All you got to do is text in, download the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device right now. It's free. Takes less than a minute. It's what Gayle King calls a deal over at CBS. By the way, I saw this morning, I was watching the show, Gayle King is going to turn 70 next week. 70.
Not what I would have guessed.
She looks fabulous. I mean, I can only hope that I look as good as Gayle King at 60 as she looks at 70. So happy birthday to Gayle King, by the way. Anyway, download the Civic Media app. We'll tell you how to text in and win that getaway trip to Chula Vista next hour. And everybody will be eligible who enters for the grand prize. There are eight of them, eight fabulous grand prizes, including a snow blower. And with weather like this, who does not want a snow blower? So be with us in hour number two. For that, we have a what's worse as well here on a Friday. Right now, though, let's get into the news. Some breaking news here in Madison at this hour. Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes will be Seattle's next police chief. Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell announced the move about an hour ago. Barnes's appointment comes after previous Seattle Police Chief Adrian Diaz was fired for allegedly lying about having an affair with a staff member. Barnes has been Madison's police chief since 2021. Now, I knew about this when I was out in Seattle earlier this week. It was being talked about out there. And look, I'm not a police law enforcement person. I chaired in my little town, Richland Center, when I was on city council there. I chaired the police and fire committee. I know something about law enforcement. Sean Barnes might be a great police chief. I don't know. I have feelings because this guy has applied for virtually every major police chief position around the country for the last year and a half. And he's coming out. He came in second to Chicago, a couple other places. He clearly does not want to be in Madison. So, you know, fine. I say good riddance, quite frankly. If you don't want to be here, then don't be here. But here's the ironic, sad, and quite frankly, I find it sick part of this. Here's a quote from the mayor of Seattle. Quote, earlier this week, under tragic circumstances, the nation received its introduction to Chief Sean Barnes, Harrell said in a statement. We all saw firsthand what our team has known since it began this recruitment process, that Chief Barnes possesses the impressive leadership capabilities, compassionate approach, and dedication to effective police work needed to continue moving our police department forward, unquote. Harrell said he spoke with Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway before announcing his decision. I saw the mayor hour and 15 minutes ago at a coffee shop on the square. She was sitting there having a coffee with somebody, did not look to be particularly concerned. Apparently, according to what the Seattle mayor is saying, it was basically Chief Sean Barnes. It was like his final interview process during this tragic shooting in Madison. And that's what ultimately got him the job in Seattle. I'm not sure there are appropriate words. Anyway, Sean Barnes gone on his way to Seattle. Moving on, 12 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Other big story, the continuing resolution in the House of Representatives last night failed. Remember, there was a deal, a bipartisan deal between Republican Speaker of the House, Democratic Majority Leader Chuck Schumer in the Senate, and President Joe Biden for a continuing resolution to keep government running. Republicans backed out after Elon Musk tweeted he wanted it killed, and then Trump and Vance joined in. All right. By the way, I guess we should take this quickly, Zomer, speaking to the camera. There is a protest going on right now in Madison of high school students. They just literally moments ago, or while I was reading that story on Sean Barnes, a large contingent of Madison high school students did a walkout this morning. They are marching up to the Capitol to protest gun violence after the shooting. You can see those watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Looks like a large contingent. I know our own Catherine Lake was out talking to some of them. We may bring you comments a little bit later today. Reports are that they will head back to class and back to school after they march to the Capitol to do this protest. Just walking by, I would say at least a couple of hundred, perhaps more, students on walking up State Street right now. So back to this story on the continuing resolution. Again, there was a deal, a bipartisan deal. Elon Musk screwed it up and killed it. Then Republicans said, okay, we want to come back with our own version, which included raising the debt ceiling for 2 years so that Trump and Republicans could have unfettered access to our tax dollars to spend it on whatever they want. Remember this. Donald Trump, during his first administration, the debt increased more under his presidency than any other president in history. Not exactly a fiscal conservative. Have you ever heard of Barstool Sports? Barstool Sports. It's a blog, website, digital media company headquartered in New York City. Publishes sports journalism, pop culture content, created by David Portnoy, better known as Barstool Big Cat, big Wisconsin fan, by the way. It's become a phenomenon in social media. And it's a unifying factor for particularly younger males, but there are also some females, and it cuts across racial, ethnicity, and partisan politics. It's all about focusing in on college sports in particular. And then many universities like Wisconsin, Minnesota, they have their own Barstool sports group. So you have Barstool Wisconsin, Barstool Minnesota, and people get obsessed with only listening and following their particular university in Barstool sports world. Now, I don't always agree with everything they put out there. Let me make that clear. But what you cannot deny, it's been phenomenally successful monetarily and bringing younger males together. Would you agree, Mr. Zomers? As a younger person?
Definitely. I mean, I don't watch it all the time because I'm not a huge sports follower, but I don't know anybody who doesn't know and watch at least some things on Barstool Sports of some form.
There you go. As a 25-year-old, you know.
26, but yeah.
Well, I was helping you out. Recently 26. So why do I bring this up? Because I want to lay this out the next 15 minutes and we'll bring Luke Mathers in at the bottom of the hour to get his take on this. I think this is a great, maybe not perfect, but very good analogy to why part, and again, I don't think there was any one reason why Donald Trump won and Kamala Harris lost in November, but I think this gives us a glimpse into at least 50 to 60% of the reason that we have the outcome we did. Because if you're into Barstool Sports, you follow your, let's take the Wisconsin-Minnesota game, the Axe game in football this week, or this last month. All right. If you only follow Minnesota Gopher Barstool Sports, you think that, the Gophers are great, that PJ Fleck is the greatest thing ever. And if you follow Wisconsin Barstool Sports only, you thought that Wisconsin was going to go in and take down Minnesota because all you're listening to is all the great stuff about Wisconsin. Minnesota clobbered us in that game. I was there. It wasn't even close. And so if all you listen to is Barstool Wisconsin, you would think, how did this happen? They must have cheated. It's very similar, in my opinion, to what happened in the election. People who consume media and quote-unquote news and information, we get into our own Barstool Sports when it comes to news. And I want to lay this out when we come back and give you some audio on this and explain how this happens. And by the way, we'll also tell you the facts on what's going to be affected if the government, in fact, shuts down in less than 12 hours. Big show today. Don't go anywhere. Your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. Back after this, it's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. It is now 21 after the hour of 12 noon, talking about this continuing resolution that is failed last night. Here's what happened on the House floor when the votes came in on this second resolution after Elon Musk and Trump killed the first bipartisan deal. They took a second vote, which would have given Trump unlimited spending power for 2 years. It failed. Here's how it happened.
On this vote, the yeas are 174, the nays are 235, one voting present, two-thirds not being in the affirmative. The rules are not suspended, and the bill is not passed.
174 to 235, 174 yeses, 235 noes. 38 Republicans voted against Trump, Musk, and Johnson. All right? That's the fact. Republicans have a majority in the House of Representatives, by the way. Remember that. Okay, it's important we remember that. So it was Republicans who did not get the job done. I want to remind you, by the way, I've been finding it for you really quickly here. A plurality vote with a 1.5% margin is a landslide, tweeted out somebody. But a majority with 13% margin is just the minority party dictating outcomes, right? That's the Fox News propaganda. Trump won a plurality, not a majority, with a 1.5% margin. But Republicans control the House of Representatives with a 13% margin. This was the Republicans killing, first of all, the bipartisan deal, and who could not cobble the votes together to pass the second deal. By the way, Tom Tiffany, Republican of Wisconsin, Northern Wisconsin, was one of the 38 Republicans to vote against this deal. I'll give him credit for that. What it also says to me is that Tom Tiffany is most likely running for governor in 2 years because he doesn't care about the retribution of a Republican primary from Trump and MAGA world. He's not running anyway for re-election. Going to run for governor, most likely, in my opinion. So those are the facts. There was a bipartisan deal. Elon Musk tweeted out that he was against it. Hours later, Trump and Vance killed it. Then they tried to cobble together a second deal. And one of the big differences was getting rid of the debt ceiling for 2 years to give Trump unlimited spending power in his first 2 years. There was also a sweetheart deal involved for Musk. We'll get into that in a minute. Here is how Republican Tom Cotton, senator, described it on Fox News.
The overwhelming majority of Democrats voted to shut down the government and deny that aid. Why? Because they want to obstruct President Trump's ability in the new year to deliver on our campaign promises the American people want, like securing the border, rebuilding our military, reducing the price you pay for electricity and gas, and cutting your taxes. It's just that simple.
So if all you listen to is right-leaning media, Fox News, Joe Rogan, you say, well, there it is. There's the truth. Tom Cotton just told us this is Democrats' fault because more Democrats voted against this than Republicans. That's factually true. More Democrats voted against it. Republicans have the majority. And it was Elon Musk and Trump who killed the deal. Here is Democratic leader in the House of Representatives, Hakeem Jeffries, after the vote.
In our nation's 248-year history, 25% of our nation's debt was accumulated during the 4 years of the former president. 25%. How dare you lecture America about fiscal responsibility, ever? And then President Biden comes to office, gets big things done for the American people on infrastructure, on the CHIPS and Science Act, standing up a clean energy economy, rescuing America from a once-in-a-century pandemic, gets all of these big things done, partnering with House Democrats and Senate Democrats, and in the process, in his first 2 years, reduces the deficit by $1.7 trillion. And so we see a very clear pattern. The facts speak for themselves. Democrats are the party of getting things done and fiscal responsibility. Republicans are the party of massive tax cuts for the wealthy, the well-off, and the well-connected.
That is Hakeem Jeffries, Democratic leader in the House. He is absolutely right. As a former Republican who left the party in 2011, there's nothing fiscally conservative about the current iteration of Trump, MAGA, Musk Republicans. Here's Representative Becca Bailent, Democrat of Vermont in the House, putting it down there where the chickens can get at it.
Billionaires are running the show here. And so what I want to say to people is you thought you voted for Trump. You didn't, actually. You voted for billionaires to run the show. Because who's taking orders from whom? Musk is calling the shots, and the House GOP is falling in line. And these billionaires, they don't care about us. They don't care about Americans. They don't. Elon Musk wants a big, massive tax break in the next administration. That's what this is about, folks. It's about a big freaking tax break for billionaires. That's what it's about. Don't be confused about what's going on here.
Do you think we'll be in a shutdown?
Oh, I do. I do, because they don't care. They don't care. And Johnson is so worried about his speakership that he's going to cave. He's going to cave. My Republican colleagues are going to cave because they're too afraid of being primaried to do the right thing. That's what this is about.
Thanks, Johnson.
You're welcome.
Representative Becca Bailent of Democrat of Vermont, nailing it, in my opinion. Reporting last night from a conservative political action group meeting last night where Steve Bannon spoke. Freshly out of prison, Steve Bannon, once again, an advisor to President-elect Trump. Bannon got the loudest cheers of the night last night when he brought up Speaker Johnson and said he has to go. Mike Johnson is fighting for his political life right now in terms of the speakership. He could not get the job done in his own caucus with his own members to do what Musk and Trump wanted. And now he's trying to cobble together, as we speak, individual bills to try to get this done. Going to come back. Luke Mathers will join us. We'll tell you exactly. We'll hear from Chip Roy, a Republican, on what happened last night. And we'll also connect this to Elon Musk, tell you why he's doing this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
National Pork Board estimates that around 318 million pounds of ham are eaten on Christmas. As you prepare for your holiday celebration, we ask the butcher for some advice on getting that holiday ham ready for the table. Nick Vorpagel of Lake Geneva Country Meats says it starts with making sure that you have enough meat per person.
So if you are looking at a bone-in product, and you know, I think in the Midwest we're pretty hospitable people. We don't ever want to run out, right? That's kind of the worst thing in the world. And leftovers are great, especially something like ham. So if you're getting a bone-in ham, we usually recommend about a pound of ham per person. There's the bone that you're going to get rid of, that you know you can make a great stock out of, things like that. But that's not going to be edible weight. So if you get about a pound of ham, bone-in ham per person, you're going to have a really nice, good amount that you can slice up and share among everybody. If you're going with a boneless ham, about a half a pound per person.
Our expert today, Nick Vorpagel of Lake Geneva Country Meats. Stick around for a look at your midday market update coming up.
The holiday season is a time for celebration, and nothing brings people together quite like cheese. Whether it's a festive cheese board or a thoughtful gift, Wisconsin cheese is the perfect addition to your holiday plans. Angie Edge, Dairy Company Communications Manager for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, shares that the best part is it's easy to find, whether you're shopping in store or online.
You can go to probably any local Wisconsin retailer and find Wisconsin cheese, because Wisconsin cheese is in 99% of grocery stores across the country. But if you don't have time to get out too, you can simply go online and shop locally by creating a Wisconsin cheese gift basket from your local retailer. And we also really encourage you, when you're out shopping, to look for that Proudly Wisconsin cheese badge, because it's the ultimate identification to let consumers know that it's the highest quality, winning awards, and made with Wisconsin milk.
For recipes, pairings, or ideas for your holiday spread, visit wisconsincheese.com.
Friday from Chicago, prices are up for the most part. Cash corn is up 4 cents at 4.44¾. 2025 new crop corn is up 2¾ cents, trading at 4.37½. Cash soybeans are up 12 cents, trading at 9.75 a bushel. And 2025 new crop beans are up 9¼ cents, trading at 9.86 a bushel. Wheat is the only thing trading lower today. July new crop wheat is down a half a penny at 5.50½. The Class 3 milk prices are moving up today after falling yesterday. The January contract is up 31 cents at 1980 a hundredweight, and the February Class 3 milk contract is up 48 cents, trading at 1970 a hundredweight. That's your market update on a Friday. And don't forget, just because it's the weekend, it doesn't mean your farm news has to stop. Follow along with us at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bright and beautiful, with that fresh snow sparkling in the sunlight, as high temperatures today reach the low 20s. We slide quite cold tonight, though, falling to the single digits, meaning for tomorrow, high temperatures will only reach the teens. But it'll be partly sunny and dry the entire weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 21.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show for a Christmas edition of Motown Monday. We'll stroll down memory lane with some of your favorite Christmas songs and get you ready for the holiday.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 now past the hour of 12 noon on Friday, TGIF, December 20th, 2024. Coming up in hour two, our grown-up gift list text win contest. Final time for our show. Up for grabs next hour. A lovely all expenses paid overnight to the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And in weather like this, who doesn't want to just sit in a hot tub and enjoy life? It can be yours if the price is right. No, all you have to do is text, and you'll also be entered in to win our fabulous 8 grand prizes as well, which will be done by computer. My understanding is by robot vacuum computer at the end of today. So that'll be very, very exciting. Right now, though, we're joined by our friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers, normally in on Tuesdays. Been a busy week, Luke. Appreciate you moving ahead to Friday. How are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. How are you?
Fantastic. The snow is out. It's very, very seasonal. I like this weather. The sun is also out. Yeah. I much prefer this than 38 and rainy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the dogs love it.
I bet they do.
Snow day just yesterday, just running around. Backyard never looks pristine.
When you have a dog.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you have like the nice the view of all untouched snow, yeah, I don't know anything about that because there are dog tracks all throughout the snow, but they're enjoying it. Not too bad. I mean, a good amount, a healthy amount of snow for the first like true snowfall.
Reminds me of the old joke. What's your favorite book? A Yellow Hole in the Snow by I.P. Standing. So there you go. We want to get into some of this fun stuff in a minute, Luke, but I want to finish up for our listeners. I want to get your take on this as well. Talking a little bit about this continuing resolution. And are you a fan of Barstool at all? Are you following the Barstool sports stuff?
I like Big Cat. Big Cat's a badger.
He is.
So he's always fun and kind of entertaining. I think the algorithms think that I like Barstool more than I do because I get a lot of videos. I'll like the ones of Big Cat talking Wisconsin stuff, but he's also from Chicagoland. He's also a Bears fan.
Yeah.
And so I do laugh at a lot of the commiserating that Chicago Bear fans have had to do this year, where they were coming in really confident in themselves with this Caleb Williams pick. And so I get a lot of the, because I interact with them with like laughing emoji, or I'll send it to friends who are also Bears fans and be like, how about, what are we thinking now kind of thing. The algorithms think that I like Chicago like highlight reels more than I actually do. It's more of a ha-ha kind of thing towards the Chicago stuff. But I see, I don't think I can go a day without seeing something from Barstool come across one of my feeds.
For those that weren't with us in hour number, or the first part of the hour, Barstool Sports, an American blog, website, digital media company headquartered in New York. They talk about sports journalism. They also weave in a lot of pop culture as well. Tremendously popular, particularly with young men, like Luke Mathers, a young man. But also a lot of other people, too. A lot of women also participate in it.
The Call Her Daddy podcast that Vice President Kamala Harris went on and it was talked about pretty broadly throughout the electoral process, that was originally from Barstool.
I forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me. But I've been trying to draw a little bit of the analogy here. And again, I don't believe there's any one reason why Trump won the plurality of the vote in November.
Didn't win the majority, though. Let's put that out there.
Right. That's why I say plurality.
Yep. But for folks that aren't understanding why Todd's been parsing those words.
But I think this is at least one example or analogy of why, in part, it was successful. Because if you only listen to or watch Wisconsin Barstool, you'd think that we're going to win every single game. And if you watch only Minnesota Barstool, you'd think that the Gophers are going to win every single game, and so on and so forth. And in the same way, if we have people and folks that are only watching Fox News or Joe Rogan, or go right down the list, you think that the message coming out of those right areas today is the truth. And we played the cut from Tom Cotton in the first half hour, Republican senator, blaming this all on the Democrats, forgetting and leaving out there was a bipartisan agreement between Democrats and Republicans for the first bill that Elon Musk single-handedly killed in the middle of the night, and then Trump and Vance jumped on top of it, on the top of the tweet, and contributed to the killing of it. And then they brought in a second continuing resolution to keep the government funded, with the big difference is they got rid of the debt ceiling, which would give Trump unlimited spending power for the first 2 years of his term. Then we heard from Hakeem Jeffries laying out the truth that, look, 38 Republicans killed this, and the Republicans have a majority in the House. We heard from Becca Blayton, Democrat of Vermont, putting it down there where the chickens can get at it. Look, this was Elon Musk. Now here's Republican, no snowflake, conservative Republican Congressman Chip Roy, Republican of Texas, on the House floor last night.
We're going to increase the debt by $5 trillion. That's what's going to happen right here by Republicans, increasing the debt $5 trillion. And what are you doing in the same bill? $110 billion unpaid for, because you never have any ounce of self-respect to go out and campaign saying you're going to balance the budget, and then you come in here and pass $110 billion unpaid for. On top of the $200 billion you did for WEP, you guys won't agree with that, but the fact of the matter is $330 billion, congratulations, you've added to the debt since you were given the majority again on November 5th. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. Yes, I think this bill is better than it was yesterday on certain respects, but to take this bill yesterday and congratulate yourself because it's shorter in pages but increases the debt by $5 trillion is asinine. And that's precisely what Republicans are doing.
Chip Roy, Republican of Texas, giving it to his own party. There are no fiscal conservatives at all, and he is a Trump supporter. This is what Donald Trump tweeted, or Truth Social, on his own social media platform after Chip Roy went to the floor. Quote, Chip Roy is just another ambitious guy with no talent. By the way, how's Bob Good doing? I hope some talented challengers are getting ready in the great state of Texas to go after Chip in the primary. He won't have a chance, unquote. That's from Trump after Roy made those comments on the floor last night. By the way, one of the 38 Republicans joining Chip Roy in voting against this last night was Tom Tiffany, Republican of Northern Wisconsin. I'll give him credit for that, although I think, in my opinion, he's doing it because he's getting ready to run for governor in a couple of years, and he doesn't care about the ramifications. So why is it that Musk wants this cut? Luke Mathers, this might interest folks. This, why Musk killed the first deal?
One of the
key new provisions in the continuing resolution that Musk killed would have restricted high-tech investments in China, such as, surprise, surprise, his own plan for a China-based data center to develop AI for Tesla cars. That from Reuters. I can't use the entire word in the air, but I'll just simply say that Elon Musk seems to be a rooster blocker when it comes to legislation. I mean, there's reasons why these things happen.
Yeah.
And they are self-serving for an oligarch.
Yeah, I think that you put it very succinctly, Todd. It is... there was a lot of analysis and back and forth. And again, like I had to say then, of all the analysis following the election, of why people voted the way they did, all of those things. I can guarantee you that voters didn't vote the way that they did on November 5th so that Elon Musk could be the shadow de facto president.
I agree with you 100%.
And coming in and saying, no, this is how we're going to do it. He wants to effectively... Donald Trump doesn't get sworn in for another month from today. And Elon Musk is already pretty much a month ahead of time saying, you're going to follow my word.
Yeah.
It's my way or the highway. And he's now not only threatening, it seems, through Donald Trump, congresspeople like Chip Roy, he's doing the same thing to the far left Democrats. He's going to come in and start spending in Democratic primaries too. Mm-hmm. Because again, his wealth is what went up by almost double.
Thank you. What a professional right here. I'm working with Luke Mathers. A great segue. Speaking of that, Luke, Elon Musk, here, is this a good deal or not? Deal or no deal is how my dad likes to say it. Elon Musk spent $277 million to help Donald Trump get elected. His return on investment since the election. Elon Musk has made $276 billion. Here's the cut on MSNBC to explain it better.
Tesla, his electric vehicle company, shot up after the election. The company is now worth 25 times what General Motors is worth. He's obviously counting on government policy to help him keep out Chinese imports, put in other EV regulations that will favor Tesla, and so buyers are buying it. SpaceX only does its valuation twice a year because it's not publicly traded. But what's happened since the election is it's raised some more money at a value that is 67% higher than what it raised it at just 6 months earlier. SpaceX obviously is heavily dependent on government contracts and government support for its launches. Now a $350 billion company, the most valuable private company in the world. His net worth has gone up 135% since the election, $276 billion. He's now worth $480 billion.
He could he not have the power to say, pull federal funding or pull federal contracts from a competing EV company, for example?
There you go. I mean, not a bad return on investment, Luke, if you're Elon Musk.
Nope, but the price of eggs.
Right.
It's a little high. Price of eggs. That's the frustrating part, though, too, is for folks that have been following Elon Musk over the last couple of years, even. You don't even have to go along. Like, this man portrays himself. He likes to play the greater fool, Todd, where he bumbles around and he wants to be a dude bro. He really, really badly wants to be liked by those guys at Barstool Sports.
100%.
He wanted to host SNL. Mm-hmm. And folks around him have fawned over, oh, well, he's a billionaire. He's so smart. He knows. He did Tesla. He did SpaceX. And again, as that clip just pointed out, SpaceX almost fully relies on the federal government for contracts. It is a private company. It is getting a lot of its resources from we the people. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that are sending money to Elon to begin with. And now Elon's seen that, and he's what's the saying? You give a mouse a cookie,
right?
Well, if you give a billionaire a cookie, it looks like he's coming for the whole damn federal government now. Because he is now, through the purchasing of Twitter over 2 years ago, to spending as much money in our electoral process, to now sitting in on the Trump transition for a second Trump administration, and in the middle of the night telling Congress to kill a bipartisan continuing resolution to keep our government funded, which that's a whole side point. Mm-hmm. Since the Republicans took control of the House of Representatives in 2023, January of 23, just under 2 years ago now, they have never passed a funding bill.
No.
The first McCarthy, now Mike Johnson, now de facto Speaker Elon Musk, none of them have passed a spending bill. They have been governing, quote unquote, off of continuing resolutions, because the Republican Party in the House of Representatives is ungovernable.
It sure appears that way.
They can't do anything on their own. They could have passed this with Republican votes.
Absolutely. And if they would have just kept their own caucus together. And I want to come back to, and again, this is where for a moment I'm going to toot our own horn. Wouldn't that be nice? But anyway, this is why I enjoy working at Civic Media. And this is why I hope that in 2025, I see this as our role. Because to get back to the Barstool Sports analogy, if you're only listening to the right, you're not going to hear this. You're going to hear what we played at the top. You know, who was it? Tom Cotton. Just say, well, this is the Democrats' fault. More Democrats voted for this against this than Republicans, that's the magic of their side. It's always rooted in a nugget of truth. Because technically, factually, yes, there are more Democrats to vote against the Republicans, but Republicans control the entire body. If they just kept their own members together, they could have passed it. But 38 of their own members voted no, and that's the truth.
That's the truth. And it is one of those things where the consequences, responsibility, all of those things that you would expect from all
personal
elected
responsibility,
officials,
conservative
from
principles.
From elected officials, you want to see some accountability and responsibility there. Those traits are only held accountable for Democratic lawmakers, it seems like, in the House.
We'll come back, talk more to Luke Mathers, take your phone calls as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allbull Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect.
A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was denied access to over $4 million in matching public funding for his 2025 campaign due to questions over an ongoing federal investigation and accusations of financial mismanagement. The U.S. Department of Justice filed charges against the mayor in September, charging him with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He is also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal these transactions, according to the DOJ. The New York City Campaign Finance Board ruled December 16th that Mayor Adams' request for $4.5 million in matching funds would be denied. The chair of the board said in a statement, "After thoroughly reviewing all available information, including the details of the indictment of Mayor Adams, the board has determined there is reason to believe the Adams campaign has engaged in conduct detrimental to the matching funds program in violation of law, including the Campaign Finance Act and board rules." New York City's campaign finance system provides an 8-to-1 match for small donations of $250 or less for mayor and $175 for city council. Such small donor financing systems promote transparency, discourage big money, and encourage less affluent candidates to run. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Sprockets when we dance. Elon Musk kind of looks like those guys from Saturday Night Live, by the way. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. In hour two, somebody's going home. Well, not you're already home, or you're somewhere. You're not here. Somebody's going to win an overnight getaway to the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Luke and I have both been there. It's a lovely place.
It is. It's one of my favorite spots in the Dells.
Yeah. So, yeah. If you want to go to Chula Vista on us, be listening next hour. Download the Civic Media app right now. We'll give you the word next hour. And somebody's going to win that trip in the next hour. And then everybody who enters gets eligible for one of our lovely 8 grand prizes, one of which, Luke, who doesn't want a snowblower right now?
Yeah, there are only 2 more opportunities to have entries. Mm-hmm. So you got the 1 o'clock hour coming up next, and then the 4 o'clock hour this afternoon, and that's it. So
if you enter in the 1 o'clock hour, you have a better chance, as it turns out.
There you go. That's Todd just tooting his own horn in the show. But now you can play at 4 o'clock, too. So stay tuned through the 1 o'clock hour. Stay tuned through the 4 o'clock hour and be entered for your chance to win in the grown-up gift list text-to-win statewide contest.
Talking about the continuing resolution defeat last night after Elon Musk and Trump killed the bipartisan deal and then tried to sneak through a debt limit ceiling thing so Trump can spend unlimited amounts of money in his first 2 years.
He's also trying to change like congressional approval. There's a weird thing that he's trying to get rid of that says that funds that are already appropriated, he can like take back.
Oh yeah. That he has more power.
So he wants to take the power of the purse, folks listening at home, checks and balances, power of the purse, that's Congress. That's not the executive side, but Trump is trying to do more and more to be able to change how he can spend money as president in this upcoming second administration.
And we found out from Reuters that in the first continuing resolution that Elon Musk killed, that would have been bad for Tesla, for his car company. And also off the text line, Jake listening to WAUK Milwaukee says, "You guys are missing the big picture. Trump, Rand Paul, Musk, Putin. This isn't normal," unquote. Agreed. And here's something. Bill Kristol, former Republican like myself, tweeted this out. He's 100% right. He says, "I think this should kind of be a big deal. Elon Musk tweeting at 1:03 a.m. today, quote, 'Only the AfD can save Germany,' unquote." The AfD is Germany's neo-Nazi party. I don't know, Luke. That seems kind of big.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, again, let's equate it to if you give a billionaire a cookie, right. If you give the mouse a cookie, he's going to keep doing and asking for more. And right. So he saw that he could had a sway in electoral politics in our country. There's nothing stopping him from doing right. It anywhere he wants now. And so there is already a more and more calls for we're seeing incumbents and this rise of authoritarianism around the world. There are oligarchs that are jumping on these opportunities, and it seems like Elon Musk is maybe a through line for a lot of them.
100%. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. 855-752-4842. Boy, Todd, the mad cow there. Wisco Paul is on the line. Wisco, always a pleasure. Happy holidays. Wisco, what do you have?
I'm back at you. Thanks for taking my call. You know, the bottom line here, I don't know what people don't understand about a bipartisan agreement. You shook hands on it. That's what should have happened. It didn't. Here's mm-hmm. the thing. If Musk or Trump, I don't know who the president is anymore or who's in charge, one or the other,
right.
if they're going to threaten the people in Congress and the Senate with primarying them, and they have all this money, then why, after January 20th, are you even going to need a Congress mm-hmm. or a Senate?
Yeah.
You won't, you're not going to need them.
Good point.
Don't these people understand that? It's going to be, you either do this, Todd, or I'm primarying you, or I'm going to put a whole bunch of money down against you, so you got to do it.
Right.
So, you know, actually, you could save a lot of money. Nobody going to Congress. Nobody goes to the Senate. That's it. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Yeah, dictatorships do save a lot of money in some ways, as it turns out. We didn't even get to, maybe we will next hour. Some of the Senate Republicans ain't too happy, to Wisco's point, because there are, to John Thune, the incoming majority leader, is one who has said, look, the Senate's going to do their checks and balances responsibility of advising and consenting here. We're not just going to let these appointments from Trump sail through. So there are at least appearing, we'll see how that plays out for in reality. Yeah. But appearing right now, there are at least some Senate Republicans who are not too happy with this. 2 minutes left, Lukester. Before the holidays, your choice. What do you want? Where do you want to go?
Let's talk about those Milwaukee Bucks in-season tournament champs.
All right, explain. They are champions,
undefeated
in season,
never lost.
Explain what this is, and I was happy for them.
Yeah, well, last year was the inaugural season for the in-season tournament, and so it is now a method of the league to try to give some more importance on earlier in season games. Mm-hmm. And because through the NBA, you've been hearing a lot of criticism for several years now that, oh, well, the All-Stars, they're doing this load management. They're pretending that they can't play. You got fans that are upset because they're buying tickets expecting to see their favorite superstars like Giannis or Dame Lillard
right. Play.
And then because of the length of the season, it's 82 games.
Too long.
I don't know if that's too long. Stop it. Come on.
Go ahead.
But because of that, you had athletes that knew the biggest thing. You've seen a lot of ring chasers, dream teams, stuff like that. They would take regular season games off mm-hmm. and then they would wait until the playoffs, and you just hope you got a good seed, good matchup, and try to go win the championship. So to try to thwart that, the association has put together this tournament, and it's kind of a big deal. People want it because LeBron won it last year, Giannis won it this year. It is something that is giving a lot of high energy, intense games in December for the NBA. I love it. And the Bucks won.
And the Bucks won.
So I love it.
And,
even
and,
more.
Got, and it incentivizes the players. They got, what, $150,000 for winning, something like that?
$500,000
there you go.
A piece for there the players and the coaches.
Luke Mathers, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you, my friend. We'll talk to you in
well,
the
Todd.
New Year. And to your lovely puppies and your wife. I should have done that in reverse order, but back with hour two, your chance to win. Don't go anywhere on the All Ball Show.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Maggie Dawn.
Happy holidays, everybody. For my last show before I go on break, I'm joined by political editor Dan Schaefer for his naughty and nice lists and his wish list for 2025. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. While lawmakers on Capitol Hill bicker over a funding bill, the White House said today there is still time to avoid a government shutdown. Karine Jean-Pierre.
This is a mess that Speaker Johnson created. It is his mess to fix. There was a deal on the table. They weigh a bipartisan deal.
President-elect Trump, who supported the latest deal, now says if a debt ceiling increase can't be included, let the closures begin. Holiday travel is in high gear. Skylar Henry is at Atlanta's airport.
They don't call this the busiest airport in the world for no reason. Airport officials here say that they anticipate a pretty busy day here, but the big bulk expected next Friday, where more than 300,000 people are expected.
Striking Teamsters at Amazon are continuing to walk picket lines today.
Corporate greed has got to stop. This is our message to them that we're not going to take it no more and we're going to stand up for that.
10,000 workers are on strike. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.